Welcome to Running on Ice, the coolest community in freight. I'm your host, Mary O'Connell, bringing you the latest tech updates, warehouse news, and everything happening in the cold chain world. Not only is there the coolest show on freight, but there's also Running on Ice, a newsletter that could not be colder. You can subscribe to that on freightwaves.com/runningonice. Before we get into our guest interview, let's get into some headlines. Americold Realty Trust is investing $3.9 billion for a 49% interest in Dubai-based RSA cold chain. George Chappell, Americold's CEO, said the partnership with RSA Cold Chain, combined with Americold's recently announced partnership with DP World, provides the company with an ideal platform to provide supply chain solutions and cold storage capacity in the Middle East and India. RSA Cold Chain's co-founder and CEO said, "We are absolutely thrilled to partner with Americold, a global player that can connect the world's food production markets to our region with a seamless service at origin and destination." Kroger is about to add another layer of automation to its customers' online grocery orders, filled by robots at its new $55 million fulfillment center in Southern Dallas. California-based Gaddick is pitching its autonomous vehicle deliveries as a way for retailers to cut costs and save time in their constant efforts to be in stock by using frequent deliveries from small self-driving trucks instead of big semi-trailers. For Kroger, Gaddick will increase same-day pickup slots, delivery frequency, and allow for longer cutoff times when customers can place online grocery orders. Completed online grocery orders will be transported to Kroger stores for customers to pick up or have delivered. Kroger claims its deliveries have cut the costs by up to 30% and has completed delivery of more than 500,000 orders in Texas, Arkansas, and Ontario, Canada. Bracket upsets aren't the only shocking thing to happen with March Madness this year. Chicken wing demand isn't what it usually is this time of the year. A sharp decline in 2022 began at the beginning of the year and hasn't recovered since. Jumbo wing quotes are sitting at a price point of 91 cents. Jumbo wing prices are 52% below year-ago levels and is a staggering 65% under 2021 levels, which was seasonal all-time high back in 2021. Last week, fresh chicken wings retailed at $3.38 discounted and earned nearly $7.9 million in total sales. With the chicken complex, fresh chicken breasts were the leading seller and the retailed at a $4.35 discounted or $4.74 non-discounted. Today, we are joined by Rick Shibakazi, Director of Cargo Sales and Special Projects at the Jacksonville Port Authority. Welcome to the show, Rick.
Hey, how you doing, Mary? Glad to be here. Thank you.
I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited because this is another one of those happy accident guests where, you know, social media brought us together because I was talking about the Jacksonville Port Authority and then someone else was like, hey, we're pretty great. And here we are. And I'm so excited because the Jackport has kind of become my favorite in the country. But I don't know if I'm allowed to pick favorites, but if I can, it's you guys.
Great. Thank you. Well, we're growing rather quickly here, so.
I feel like that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, before we get into everything about you guys, why don't you give us a brief rundown on your background and how you got started with the Jacksport?
So I worked for some maritime shipping lines over the years, and then most recently I worked for the Port of Baltimore for 22 years. And a similar position handling Latin America break bulk products, refrigerated cargo. And then about 10 years ago, I basically came for a position here in Jacksonville, which matched up to my exact things that I was doing in Baltimore, but in a bigger, slightly bigger port with some more cargo options and a bigger partnership network here. So it's worked out very well, and I'm enjoying my job here for the next 10 years. And the weather is excellent here, not so much in Baltimore all the time.
I feel like that's just got to be the icing on the cake because as someone who's been to Baltimore in the summer, and although I do feel like Baltimore in the summer is better than Florida in the summer, no offense, but Florida has aggressive humidity.
You know, so does Baltimore, though. So you probably hit a good...
That's true.
You know,
I had it like the one good day.
Okay. No, I think
all right, well, but
during the winter here is a better quality of life, not what I would say.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Snow, who is she? Who is she?
Perfect.
All right. So I feel like I'm just kind of constantly reading about companies, you know, investing in these massive facilities right near you guys, or making plans to incorporate Jaxport into their, you know, cold chain, supply chain, or any of their, basically everyone is kind of making plans around you guys. Why have you guys kind of become the new coolest kids in town?
I think the cargo growth has been really very helpful, because when people look at to see what kind of cargo movements, they always look at the business opportunities first. And secondly, they probably talk to the port about, you know, opportunities. Do we have enough services here throughout the world? And then lastly, the other really important factor is real estate, right? We need land to be able to expand. And thankfully, in the last couple of years, we've had a tremendous amount of development. And really, I mean, it's been incredible. I mean, I think it even surprises us. You know, we feel as though we've been very successful, but when you start to see warehouses pop up, and I mean, a tremendous amount of space. And then most recently, and part of our what we're talking about today is a refrigerated growth. So it's just been, I don't want to call it a complete surprise, but it's certainly a pleasant surprise for us to be growing so quickly.
Like I said, it's a good problem to have, where all of a sudden everybody kind of recognizes all the work that you guys are doing and everything that, you know, you're doing to make the port cool and exciting. And then everybody's like, no, we like this. Keep doing this. And we're just going to build a bunch of multi-million-dollar facilities right down the street.
Right. Well, I mean, the situation is this. When we talk to people, they haven't really put a shovel on the ground yet. And they come to us for sort of a flavor of what's coming up. And, you know, we try to be as honest as possible. We're very objective about the opportunities and the industries around us that surround us, including the port. And, you know, this is where these people then say, okay, it's worthwhile investing here. And they plant their flag here. And it's been nice to hear basically their reply, you know, say 6 months or a year later, when they say, you know what, you told us there would be good opportunities, there have been good opportunities, and we're growing. So when you hear it back, I think the positive feedback is really great.
Oh, absolutely, because that's when you're like, oh, we know we're doing something right. We kind of can carry on this path and not just shoot out into the abyss and hope for the best.
Yes, correct. Yes. Yep.
What do you think has been the major contributor of all this growth? Kind of like, what is that competitive edge that you guys have developed over, you know, other ports or other areas?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one thing that we are seeing is basically the impetus of this growth has been the population growth of Florida. I mean, we have a tremendous amount of people along the East Coast that are moving this way from New Jersey and New York, farther north. You know, we're in a situation where people are doing some hybrid work so they can work at home as well as even travel farther, you know, to basically go to the office maybe a couple times a month. And back to what I said, I think the quality of life here is very good. The beach is very close. We're like an hour and a half or so from Disney World and some of the attractions down there. But, you know, there has been a great deal of available industrial property, and that's tied in basically between the port and the airport. In that sector in between is where all this growth is going on.
I feel like an airport within, you know, 30 minutes to an hour of a port has to be kind of game-changing, because then it literally comes in and it can be on an airplane and be in Seattle like the next day.
Absolutely. And we're probably 20 minutes from the airport. And, you know, we also have rail connections that put us into the center of the country in a quick hurry. So it's very good. And on the refrigerated side, I mean, we have a lot of trucks that are destined here and then wind up empty. And they're what they call backhauling, which is typically a cheaper rate going back towards Atlanta, Nashville, Memphis, and farther north. So I think that's feeding all this situation of being a very cost-conscious companies are taking advantage of that. So,
yeah, because Florida has, back in my brokerage days, Florida was always kind of that dead zone where you would send a truck to and you'd have to pay a little bit more, especially if you're going down to like South Florida. You're going to have to pay a lot of money for that because there's nothing down there for them to pick up and bring back.
Yeah, it's been, you know, and then the other thing they're suffering down there is with congestion of population. And even major highways like 95 is a bit congested down there. We're very much enjoy our location here, which is we have Route 10 that goes from here to California west, and it starts here. And then 95 comes from Miami, goes right through Jacksonville, and heads north into New York and north. So
I've definitely gotten stuck on 95 in the more up north. I think everyone has. Yeah.
Then you can take 10 out to 75, and that puts you right in downtown Atlanta. So to get to the population growth, it's very, very good. So it's easy.
Yeah. You guys kind of have a little bit of everything, which is nice.
Yes.
What kind of, so we've talked about like the company seeking opportunities there and how it's extremely cost conscious. What kind of products are benefiting the most from all of these enhancements to the cold chain services? Like, are we talking fresh fruit, florals, pharmaceuticals? What kind of products are you guys seeing like really thriving in this?
Yeah, I mean, the main, I think, things that started the crank up of this business in Jacksonville has been a company called Beaver Street Fisheries. They were a domestic importer of seafood, everything from, you know, fish like fillets, like whiting, all the way up to lobster, shrimp, and things like that from all over the world. They have basically transferred that over to a complete worldwide network in that they import and export all at the same time through foreign trade zones. They're able to do that without paying duty on cargo that's being re-exported. So that's been a savings to them. But they occupy three warehouses today that are all frozen and high-tech, high ceilings. And, you know, it's worked out really well. So that put our name basically on the map. What we are starting to see more and more of is poultry business. And that poultry business resides in the southern part of Georgia and just west of there. So because other ports are suffering through some congestion, both at the pier and with vessel traffic, people are coming here and they can handle. Just briefly, what happens with poultry is it's shipped to a warehouse locally fresh. USDA does a quick inspection to make sure it's fine. And then once they stamp their inspection that it's okay, it's what's called flash frozen. So the cases are frozen very quickly. And then from there, they're put in the containers for export. So they're ready to go. That process is done very quickly here. And we have a number of facilities that can do that. So it's really pretty great. We're doing very well. The growth is very manageable. We're doing really well out of it.
Poultry is one of those that is surprising to me, and I don't know why. I don't know if I just thought that poultry was kind of exclusive to the Midwest, and like we kind of shipped it out from there. But now I'm realizing that like there are manufacturing facilities everywhere for it. But I don't know. Poultry just seems very, very random, but oddly enough, it makes sense, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, there are pockets throughout the country where chickens are grown, basically, and those areas are the primary areas that either is for domestic distribution or for exports. And a lot of the exports are not whole chickens, but parts. When I was up in Baltimore, we handled a lot from the Delmarva Peninsula, so that was a portion of Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia, and they centered usually exporting that most of that material through Baltimore in the frozen. And it went everywhere. I mean, it depended on what type of countries like certain products more than others. So, it's a very big business. And Alabama does quite a bit. Georgia does quite a bit. And we see some of it also. So it's been a really nice growth. It does take care of, you have to do some better handling of it, I guess, to keep it in sustainable and in proper growth. So our facilities are pretty much set up for that in that we are so close to some of these facilities that they can drive there very quickly. There's a generator set that keeps the whole container cold. And then once it arrives at the terminal, they're plugged into power. And that's what the operation works like that till the vessel is ready to load those containers. And then they're plugged into the ship for tracing and things like that.
That is actually really cool. Yeah. That's something that I did not expect to learn today was fun facts about chicken logistics, which is actually really cool.
Yeah, I'll have to remember that term.
Chicken logistics. Yeah. So we've touched on some of them, like some little success stories. Do you guys have like one overall, like this is someone who has effectively used our resources, like improved their business? Basically, like, do you have like your one big success story outside of the fish that you're like, yeah, no, these people are doing it right. And, you know, they've used all we have to offer correctly.
Absolutely. So one of our recent buildings that was finished, I think around November, December 1st, was a company called Flexcold. So Flexcold is headquartered in Charleston, actually, South Carolina. But they chose to build their very first facility here. They are very high tech. Their storage is built on different type of forms that actually move in the warehouse. So if you have product that's not going to be going out immediately, the whole basically range of pallet positions move to one side of the building, and then it opens up more space. So you get about, I think, about 35% more space usability of cargo in a warehouse like that, because you can move the racks back and forth as needed. They built a 150,000 square foot warehouse, which we call spec, meaning they didn't have an anchor tenant when they built it. And it was one of those stories about, look, we have business, I think you'll do well here. And they're like, okay, we'll see. And, you know, the building was up in December, or at the beginning of December. By the beginning of February, they were completely full. So immediately that triggered for them an expansion. They had bought enough property basically to double the building size. And they're in the process right now of breaking ground to do just that. So that'll turn into a 300,000 square foot building. It's all frozen space, and they do have flash freezers for the poultry. They do a little bit of domestic. I know they have a pizza account that it handles frozen pizzas for supermarkets. And that's been another piece of business, I think, that they weren't expecting, which is a nice touch. We do have, you know, three different distribution centers locally or within, say, 10 or 12 miles. One is Publix Supermarkets, one is Winn-Dixie, and one is Walmart. And all three of those are strictly refrigerated buildings. And like Walmart has areas for things like lettuce, which require more humidity. And then they have frozen packages like for prepared foods. And then they have, you know, protein like steaks and chickens and pork also. So to have those distribution centers here basically that are sending their products all the way through the Southeast, so the basically the Southeast corner of the U.S., you know, the demand is there for the product. So, you know, we're starting to bring more and more in that way. We haven't touched much upon the fruit side of things you mentioned. We do bring pineapples up from Costa Rica. So that's been a regularly weekly input. But that product stays in the container. It goes directly to a customer, like a supermarket or the distribution centers I just mentioned.
So basically,
we don't actually.
So basically, they kind of did a, if we build it, they will come. They built the Field of Dreams right in your backyard.
Yes. And they kept a very sharp eye on me to make sure things worked out. So no, we're very happy to see them succeed. And we have had a couple of other situations where they built facilities here for distribution. And we have a few more in the works. And it's just surprising that it's growing so fast. You know, I mean, usually the growth is a little slower and more planned. I think the opportunities are showing up and people are trying to jump on them as they get, you know, the available space. We do have a lot of land here in Florida, but I think the prices are starting to peak. And, you know, the developers that got in early are doing it right. And anyone coming later is going to be pretty expensive land per acre. So
that being said, like with everyone coming down and, you know, taking advantage of everything there, what are some of the traits of your favorite shippers or people that you're working with? Like, what are those traits that you're like, you are on it, you have it, we want to continue working with you, versus someone that, you know, is still a good customer, but maybe is a little less responsive, less quick to pick up some of their stuff? Like, what are some of those good traits that you're like, this is going to make me want to continue doing business with you from the port perspective?
Yeah, I mean, I think basically all of them are our favorites. We don't have any slow process customers or delays. What we try to do is work with our terminal operators to make sure that everything works smoothly and arrives to the terminal in time for the ship. In some of our cases, I know we have dedicated gates that can expedite if you have like a certain amount of containers that need to come through sort of at the last minute to arrive before the ship sails. We have been able to basically make that happen. So our operators are very attuned to what all this means. And, you know, the inventory and the cost of the inventory for a shipper is very expensive. So we try to get it to the ships as soon as possible. I don't know that for us, I mean, most of the ocean shipping lines that we have come here show up on a fixed day schedule. So they're here every week. So if you miss the ship, you have to wait a whole another week for, you know, to catch that ship. So I think that's a good reason for people to sort of use this. We have a tremendously good customer service team here, and we work with customers big and small to make sure that they reach their goals and everything works through pretty well, you know, very well. And we sort of take the time to introduce everyone along the supply chain so you know who to touch upon if you have any issues.
So you guys really take that like partnership approach like to the next level where it's like we're in this together. It's not just drop your stuff and hopefully it'll get on the boat today. It's just as long as you're here before the boat goes, you're good.
Yep. And I mean, I think some of the companies like this Flexcold, I mean, they have people on staff that do nothing but, you know, sort of keep an eye on the time range and make sure that they, you know, everything's working on a timely basis. If there's any problems, they know who to talk to at the pier, and they can advise them, hey, these couple boxes may be coming in kind of like a hot load, and you need to handle them a little bit special. So, but it's a very nice partnership with all our supply chain partners here. I mean, everyone works together. We have some industry organizations that make us get together on several times a month. So everyone knows each other and we work together to make sure things get done properly. So
I actually really like that. It sounds some like wholesome and like just nice. Sounds like a nice way of doing business.
Yeah. And I mean, I tell you, some of the things I think the shippers are surprised about is if they have a question, let's say about a customs issue, we're very close with customs here and we know the district director extremely well. And she'll just jump in with her team and help us out like very quickly. And, you know, that's really very helpful. Yes, that's a very plus on our radar with customers because they're like, you guys are really tuned into these things. That's great. You know,
so there's one thing we've learned. If there's one thing we've learned, customs paperwork can be someone's downfall.
Yes, it can be. Yeah.
All right, so we are almost out of time, but there's a question that everyone that comes on the show has to answer, and it might be the hardest question you get asked all day. Are you ready for it?
I'm dreading this. No, I'm not looking. I'm ready. Go ahead.
Is cereal a soup?
So, you know, let me say this. I was born in Argentina, and I came to this country when I was younger, and I still retain those Argentinian breakfast things. So I don't eat either cereal or soup. So I can't answer that question. I'm not a person that is very, very involved or know much about that. What do you think?
I don't think it's a soup because like it's just not. It's breakfast cereal, even if you put it in milk. And I know the soup is technically like a liquid with stuff in it.
And it's hot. right?
It's not it. But what is a typical Argentinian breakfast?
Cup of coffee and probably a little croissant. That's it.
That sounds delightful.
Our big meals are lunch and dinner and dinners. So it's kind of like a different whole culture.
I like it. Argentina's pretty cool. They're pretty cool. They got some good food. All right. So if anyone wants to reach out about your breakfast opinions or anything going on at Jaxport, where can they find you outside the show?
At jaxport.com. I am actually listed on the website under, like I said, jaxport.com under cargo. And there is our whole team is listed there and our email address, which is ricardo.shipacasi@jaxport.com. You'll have a hard time spelling that, but you'll find it on the website.
All right. Thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, Mary, thank you so much. Great to meet you. And we'll touch base soon. Thank you.
You can catch other episodes of Running on Ice here on FreightWaves TV, YouTube, or anywhere you get your podcasts like Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Need more Running on Ice news? No sweat. Subscribe to the newsletter on FreightWaves.com/Running on Ice. See you on the internet.